Tim Versalotti, I want to talk to you about presidential politics. Cruz, Trump, Jeb, I want to ask you about them. There is something in this country called the bandwagon effect. Therefore, when a poll finds you out ahead, you're in better shape than it would find you, Jeb Bush, way behind, because people say, I don't want to be with a loser. I want to be with a winner. They do it. It's unfortunate, but they do it. How do you control for that?
In terms of campaigns, what we know from political science research is that this can really help or hurt your fundraising. No one wants to give money to a candidate who's sinking in the polls in particular. And so the polls matter, and the methodology behind the polls matter, and there needs to be open and transparent disclosure of these methods, because they can have a real impact on the campaigns. That's not the only variable. Money does matter. Campaign advertising can have an effect. Negative ads do work. And so all of those rolled together can either fuel a campaign or stop it in its tracks. And we've seen that in some very interesting movement in public opinion, particularly relative to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, in terms of some of the narrative, some of the discourse that's been coming out in the last few days in the campaign.
Talk to me about who's, you know, leading all of this in the Republican side, or one of the great leaders is Donald Trump. He was on TV, as we say around here. He's on TV. He says the most outrageous things, and he's leading the pack.
I would say there that Donald Trump has an emotional appeal that is resonating with a segment of the electorate that is angry, that feels out of power, that feels marginalized, and therefore his messages are not messages that are necessarily laden with a lot of policy details, a lot of facts. Instead, they're direct appeals to voters' anger, to their insecurities, to their desire to get some power back, some sense that the old ways are slipping away and therefore people feel marginalized. And I think that explains a good part of Trump's appeal. The folks who are most open to his message are older voters, white men, less educated voters, who feel like the country is changing and that they're no longer having a seat at the table. They're somehow on the margins, and they don't like that, and they don't see a way of getting back in without some champion for them, and they find that champion in Donald Trump.
Well, you know, that's so interesting. I was walking down the street in Manhattan the other day. There were people next to me. I'm sorry, turn your radios off if there's a kid with you. There were two men. I was walking right next to them. They were saying really disgusting things. I mean, they were saying, I like them. I like them. And then starting using terms like towel head and this and that. That's interesting that you say that, because I'm concerned that the less people know, the more likely they are to reach out and vote for a candidate who gives an emotional rather than a factual or intellectual appeal. But that's the way that it works. Now, I want to ask you a question as one of the outstanding pollsters that I know. Those people, those middle class, older people, more likely to vote than others?
The fact that these are individuals who tend not to have college degrees, who tend to come from a blue-collar background, that's an open question. Age, as the demographic gets older, that certainly increases the probability that they'll vote. But as education levels drop, that suggests they may stay home. So the big question is, can Trump build get-out-the-vote organizations that can mobilize individuals who, in some sense, feel marginalized to get them out to the polls, to get them out to the caucuses? There's some indication that he is building those mechanisms, certainly in Iowa and New Hampshire, but it's the proof is in the pudding. We'll only know come February 1st in Iowa.
We've talked about Trump for a moment. Let's talk about Cruz for a moment. Here's a guy, Harvard educated, I believe, very smart, and yet very, very tough on, you know, social issues. But he seems to rival Trump in terms of the potential for getting votes. You're a great pollster. Can you explain that?
again, Ted Cruz, his appeal is multifaceted. He is a politically very conservative, connects with evangelical voters as well, but also can strike chords in terms of an emotional appeal. And again, he is trying to hearken back to a time when the country fit a particular moral order. He describes himself as a constitutional conservative, hearkening back to some time when there were very clear limits on the power of the federal government and that the greater power rested with the states. And so he calibrates his appeal to a number of different sets of constituents so that he's not one size fits all. He's very smart in terms of his audience and in terms of signaling to various aspects of that audience how his appeal, how his candidacy speaks to them and to their concerns.
So we have a Trump, we have a Cruz. We expected in the beginning, many of us expected that Jeb Bush would be right up there because he's a Bush after all. We've had two Bush presidents. It's a dynasty, as they say in England, or a dynasty, as they say in the United States. So what happened to him, Mr. Pollster?
I think what happened was that he's been out of the game for quite some time in terms of running for office, and he's just not very good at it. In terms of his performance in the debates, he's not a compelling speaker. He's not someone who can go toe-to-toe and score points, and he's had multiple tries at it at this point. And so I think his time has come and gone, and it's got to be one of the biggest surprises of this election cycle, that someone, not just with the name, because that's a mixed bag, but someone with the connections and the financial support has not done better than he has. I think, again, it's a reflection of his abilities as a candidate, and they're not formidable in terms of debate performance.
I have a theory. We only have a minute, but it's called the theory of the golden ring. Your time comes around, you grab the golden ring because you can. Huckabee, for example, good example right now, nothing. His time passed him by.
Yeah, there's something to be said for timing. And so when people look at candidates who have only been in a federal office for some time, a few years, in the case of Barack Obama or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, the argument, wait your turn. The counter-argument is, well, this might be the moment, and if you let it pass, you may not get another shot at it. And so we see very smart, very articulate individuals who may not have a lot of legislative or executive experience under their belts going when they do because they see this is their opening.
I am delighted to have had one of my favorite people in the world, not my favorite, Tim Bresolotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, and a guy who can make the complicated into the uncomplicated. I thank you, Tim, for being with us. And when we come back the next time, let's talk Massachusetts.
I look forward to it.